It is indeed great to see you this morning. And I am very thankful that we have this opportunity to gather, to sing these songs of praise, to open up God's Word and read it together, to pray to God before His throne, to gather around the table, to remember the death of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now it's come time in our service that we're going to talk about a challenge, challenging ourselves, challenging those maybe in our families, maybe those in our circle of influence. This morning, as George was bringing us a wonderful lesson to remind us of the importance of what we prepare for God, how we prepare for God, how we should never forget the greatest gift that's ever been given. He says that beautiful prayer and he says amen, and it's time for us to partake of the body, the bread that represents Jesus Christ's broken body on the cross. I open up my little flap on mine and mine's empty. I don't know what that means, but I think it goes hand in hand. For a moment, I had lost part of Jesus, right? Today, we're going to talk about losing Jesus. Now, I know you might think that that is crazy. We'd never lose Jesus. But there are a lot of people today, and I appreciate Johnny's prayer, who have made the decision to lose Jesus. There's been a time in Scripture, in Luke chapter 2, that we see that Jesus was lost. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 2. And let's read together verses 41 and following. I want to remind you that last week we talked about celebrating an exciting time in the life of Jesus, right? The time that Jesus was born. We even read to us from, we even had our scripture as part of this great chapter of Luke 2, that at the very beginning of it, the angels are saying, "Do not be afraid, I bring you glad tidings of great joy." And everything's great and everything's wonderful, but in the very same chapter, they lose Jesus. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he, that's Jesus, of course, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. To me, it begs the question, how do you lose Jesus? Now, I want you to think about now Mary for a moment, right? Let's put our minds back to where she was 12 years prior to this. She was very pregnant to the point of birth. And Joseph and she were searching frantically for a place to stay so that they could get Mary to the proper facility so that she could safely have the Son of God. But as you recall, there was no room in the inn. So it ends up that they are in a stable. They are in an area where animals reside, where animals sleep, where animals do all their business, and where animals eat and such. And there, Mary gives birth to the greatest gift that's ever been given. They wrap him up in swaddling cloth, and they lay him in a food trough. And others come and see him. Wise men seek him out. And there's this great and wonderful and momentous occasion that everybody is celebrating. The shepherds in the field, the angels, the wise men. Herod's trying to kill him because he's so afraid that he's going to be that king that they've all talked about for all these years. And then Jesus grows. We lose from about, maybe he's 2 years old when they're seeking all those who were 2 years and younger. I don't really know how old he was, but let's say he was no more than 2 years old, or Herod wouldn't have made the decree. Let's say from 2 years old to 12, we miss those years. But you know it was filled with joy. This is Mary's baby. She knows she had gave birth to the Son of God. She was told. It was miraculous how she got pregnant. You know everywhere she went, she kept an eye on him. This is the Son of God. I'm raising God in the flesh. And so they do the right thing. They go to Jerusalem and remember the feast and remember the things that they're supposed to remember. Their ritualistic expectations are met, and they teach Jesus the law and they raise him up, and then all of a sudden they get a day's journey away. Now, mamas, that wouldn't happen to you today. Let's say you're at Disney World. If you've been to Disney World, there are a lot of people there. Let's say you're going down, I don't know, Main Street, which is also Stroller Lane. And you're trying to get through there, and the Cinderella's castle's out in the distance, and you're trying to get there, and you kind of frantically get through, and you don't have your kids on those leash like some people do, and all that stuff, and you get up, and all of a sudden you get to Cinderella's castle, and little Susie or little Johnny's not with you. First of all, you're thinking that would never happen, and I would agree with you all today. But let's just say you get there. You're going to go over to Space Mountain and just ride all those rides and everything else, and then be like, we'll find them later. No, you're taking roll. You're saying, stay with me, hold my hand. It's like a drill of sergeants, right? You're not going to get 100 yards without knowing they're there. They went a day's journey. And they lost Jesus. How do we lose Jesus? You see, sometimes we can get down the road and all of a sudden remember, hey, my life hadn't always been this way. There's something missing in my life. And sometimes people get down the road, maybe it's a day's journey, maybe it's a week's journey, maybe it's 20 years' journey. They get down the road and they realize, I have lost my first love. I hope that we have the same reaction that Mary did. No matter how far it was, no matter how long it was, when they realized they had lost Jesus, they frantically and anxiously went back to find Him. There are a lot of people today, unfortunately, that are just wandering around lost. Wandering around without Jesus in their lives, and there are even those who are in the church. And yes, Justin, we've had a great year. We've gained some great members. But quite frankly, if we're honest with ourselves, we have some that haven't come back. Now, some of those, yeah, it's still a safety issue with them. But there's some that, quite frankly, it's just because they've lost Jesus Christ. Is it possible to lose Jesus in the safest place of all? Think about that. Where's the safest place of all? Well, Mary and Joseph, they had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And it's there that they lost Jesus. They were doing the right thing. They thought they were doing the right thing. And they thought they had everybody with them. But they got a day's journey away, and they realized He's gone. How many times have we come to worship and been distracted? How many times have we come to worship and been tired and exhausted? You know, think about this, parents. Do we want our children to go to algebra or geometry or whatever physics or whatever hard math class or science class they may have first block or first period on Monday when they go back to school? Do we want them to be tired and not paying attention? No. You want them to be, so you tell them, you go to bed. You turn off your devices. At least I would think we did. I know we do at our house. You go to bed and you get rest because children need rest. But then on Saturday night, we let them stay up as late as they want to. Oh, if we miss Sunday school, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Sleep in a little bit. I'm tired. I can't get up. It's okay. You just keep resting. And we come in and we're still wiping the sleep out of our eyes, and we shake a few hands, and we mumble through a few songs, and we partake of that rancid Lord's Supper juice that we just drank, and all those things. And, you know, at the end of the day, we put a few dollars in the plate, and we go home. Oh, I was here. I got my name checked off. But we journey away, and we realize I've lost Him in the safest place of all. So it begs the question, how does one go from losing Jesus to loving Him again? If we say He's the greatest gift that's ever been given, and I believe 100% He is, and we can prove it, and we give up the gift, we let go of the gift, we let go of the love. We let go of the forgiveness. We let go of the sacrifice. We let go of the blood, sweat, and tears that He put into saving my soul. How do I go back to loving Him again? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I believe there's a path back. And as we close out a year, I think it begs the question to ask ourselves, 52 weeks later, am I closer or further from the greatest gift of all? The first way I believe that we understand the importance of going from losing to loving Jesus is, number one, we must be careful that routine and tradition never replace the reality of His powerful presence. Sitting in this pew, singing these songs, and by the way, I appreciate Steve not putting us in a routine. He keeps us guessing sometimes, right? We don't go, back in the old days, it was two songs, the scripture, the prayer, you know. So he puts a lot of thought into it, a lot of thought into his song, and a lot of thought into the order of our worship and such. But let's just say we go through 50 years of the same routine. And we hold fast to traditions that man made. At the end of the day, if we're not careful, even though we've been going through the motions, we can lose Jesus in the safest place of all. One thing I must experience with Jesus Christ every day is His powerful presence. If you're not experiencing Jesus Christ and His glory and His power every day, then you need to ask yourselves, have I lost Jesus Christ? Every day I'm amazed. Every day, if I am living the way I should live, I see Jesus Christ. I see God. I feel and know His Spirit lives within me. If you are not experiencing that, then maybe we've gotten caught up in the mundane part of life and daily devotion to God. Paul said it this way. Therefore, if anyone, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, that's traditions, the way we used to live, the way we used to walk, the way we used to talk, the way we used to act, those old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've said it 1,000 times or more over the years. Behind this wall's water, once I go down in that water, I am putting to death old me, selfish me, all about me. I'm putting it to death, and it becomes all about Him. And if it's not still all about Him, then you've lost it. Everything we do should revolve around the cross. Not everything we do should revolve around us. Worship should not revolve around me. My worship should revolve around God. I need to be worshiping and devoting myself to Him. If I have allowed tradition and ritualistic life and routine life and everything else to get in the way of Jesus' presence and His power, then I need to get that out today. Secondly, if I want to love Jesus and not lose Jesus, then I need to love truth. Even when it makes us miserable, it will still make us free. Today, there may be some toe-stepping going on. It's the last Sunday of the year. What did you expect? I remember one time when my brother Toby and Angie at Lot Road would take me to worship. And I would sit with them. And I was a teenager that really didn't want to be there, or maybe a preteen that really didn't want to be there. You know, my mind was in about 1 million other places. And I remember, I was making an airplane or something during Jeff's sermon or something like that, and Toby kind of got on to me. Of course, that's my big brother. I don't want him getting on to me, you know? He's not dad. So it made me aggravated with him. You know what he said? He said, the truth hurts. And he was right. Sometimes when people tell us we need to straighten up spiritually, it hurts. We get mad at them. I've had people get mad at me. I mean, really mad. I've had people not love me, not like me, but even hate me. I've had people just, you know, not want anything to do with me anymore. That hurts. But at the end of the day, it was the truth that really hurt. The truth of the matter is this. We need to keep a better eye on where Jesus is in our lives. Sometimes we can get so distracted with the world that we can lose Him. We can put our eyes on places we shouldn't put our eyes. We can live our lives in ways that we shouldn't be living. In fact, the Scriptures remind us, Jesus Christ Himself said, John 8:31-32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the truth? The truth is this: without Jesus Christ, I'm lost. Please understand this. If I have a little bit of Jesus, I'm still a whole lot lost. If my heart has a little bit of Jesus in it, if my soul has a little bit of Jesus in it, my mind has a little bit of Jesus in it, I'm still a lot lost. He wants it all. My heart needs to be filled with Jesus. My soul needs to be filled with Jesus. My mind needs to be filled with Jesus. And if that hurts, guess what? Jesus said, "The truth shall set you free." We have two responses. I can reject the truth, or I can accept the truth. But the one that needs to be truthful today is the one that you control. You don't control me, I control me. Hopefully Christ controls me. But I'm the only one that can ask myself today, have I lost Jesus? Thirdly, this morning, how do we go from losing to loving? We must seek His way of doing things and stand with Him as the highest priority in our lives. I can't tell you enough how He's got to come first. If I do not say anything else, please hear this. I'll say a lot more, but if you don't hear anything else, hear this. If He is not first, then He's not at all. Okay? Oh, preacher, I don't agree with that. I mean, Jesus isn't first in my life, but I love Him. I don't care how many happy birthdays we sing to Him. I don't care how many times we sing praise songs or whatever. If I do not have Him first, He's not there. Remember, what did He want? He wants to be Lord. What did He say in the Ten Commandments? I know that's old law, but the principle's still there. No other God before me. Where is He in your priority list? Where is Jesus Christ in your life right now? It's the last Sunday of the year. We need to be thinking about closing it out and beginning anew today. If He's not first, then why not? Not my words, but His. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He didn't say seek Him second, third, fourth, tenth, or a hundredth. He said first. First, man, it's real easy to put things ahead of Jesus. It may not be real smart, but it's real easy. Because the devil knows how good things besides God seem. It's real easy to justify stuff in our minds. But the hard truth of the matter is this: if He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. Priorities matter. I don't know if our church is the funnest church out there. Chances are it's not. I think we got a pretty great youth minister. I think we got a pretty great one-to-one minister, and I think we've got a pretty good, you know, leadership. Even though I'm a part of it, I think it's still pretty good. Okay? But does that mean we're going to have the greatest ideas all the time, or we're going to have the most... By the way, when I'm with y'all, I have a lot of fun. I mean, I do a lot of laughing and all that. But I'm just saying, there's probably people out there... But is that what it's about? Yeah, I believe fun's part of it. But when it comes down to it, it's about putting God where He needs to be. He needs to be first. And I believe our church strives to make Him first. Number four, if I want to go from losing Jesus to loving Jesus, then we must keep His final words before ascending into heaven the primary focus of all we do in ministry. You know what His final words were? Here they are. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. We call that the Great Commission, but it's got to be our life's mission. It's got to be our church's mission. Again, if my response, Jesus didn't say in there, have the greatest fun in your worship service of all time. He didn't say in there, fill in the blank. You know where I'm going with that, I hope. What he said is, but the reason I bring that up is because I'm afraid some have cashed in Jesus for exciting things at other places. Sunday fun day. Well, we can just put him on the back burner, stream him a little bit, and we can go out and have all the fun we want. Unfortunately, folks, I believe that's become a reality. Jesus said, here's what your life mission ought to be. Go into all the world, starting in your Jerusalem, which is right here. Make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded. Along the way, we're going to have fun. I believe the Chosen does a great job showing Jesus had fun, that He laughed, that He had a good time. But at the end of the day, what really matters is His mission. Am I part of His mission today? Have I lost that loving feeling, so to speak? That loving mission. Number five, if we want to love Jesus and not lose Jesus, we must know and believe the love He has for us. It is hard to not be around people that love you. You see, let's say that I really don't want to go somewhere. Maybe I'm tired. I use Justin a lot. I'll use him again. Let's say Justin, who's my friend, invites me over to his house. They're going to have this cookout or whatever, and I'm kind of tired. But you know what's going to motivate me to go more times than not? Is I know Justin and his family, they love me. And I'm not going into a place that they're going to ridicule me, they're going to criticize me, they're going to say bad things about me. That'd be easy for me to stay away. See, it's hard to stay away from places where you're loved. But there are a lot of people today that have walked away from the one who loves them the most. That doesn't make sense, does it? But it's a hard reality. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. When people walk away, why did Mary and Joseph frantically search for him? Because they loved him. They realized they had lost him, and they went back as fast as they could to find him. Why do people walk away from the love of God? I don't know, but they do. They do. And that's one thing that I really struggle with. What's the right way to tell them? What's the right way to let them know? What's the right way to preach this sermon? What's the right way as a preacher, as an elder, to be able to tell people? And really it comes down to you got to love them enough to tell them the truth. And the truth is this. You need to walk away from the one who hates you. There's a lot of people walk to the one who hates them and wants them to fail. His name's Satan. But the one who loves them the most, we've walked away from. It's time to frantically get back. How do we go from losing Him to loving Him? We must love God with all that we are and love others as we love ourselves. We're getting back to the principles, right? The early principles. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? They thought they had it. Maybe they thought, man, he's going to prioritize 1 through 10. We know what the 10 commandments are. Now, there are a lot of commandments that came off of that, right? But they knew what the commandments were, and we're going to get him, we're going to catch him, and we're going to trick him. And he said, no. He said, the greatest commandment is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Get this. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. What's the greatest command? Love. Love God with all you got. Love others as you love yourself. When we get that right, then we found Jesus Christ. Finally this morning, if I truly want to love, and I truly want to go from losing Jesus to finding Jesus again, or for the first time, then I must trust enough to surrender completely to Him, laying down our lives, taking up our cross, and following where He leads. You see, in order to gain something, sometimes we got to lose something. We got to lose this world. We've got to lose our grip on sin. We've got to lose our grip on Satan. Once we do that, we can take up his cross and follow him where he leads. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Those are strong words. When it comes down to it, do we cherish self? Do we cherish the pleasures of this world? Or do we cherish Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to know something. The cross that Jesus bore was not a fine, planed piece of wood. It was a rough tree. It wasn't light. In fact, it got so heavy, Jesus couldn't even bear it. Simon had to carry it the rest of the way. Sometimes when we put Jesus first, this is the truth. He didn't say life will be smooth and pleasant. There's still going to be rough patches. There's still going to be heavy moments. But here's what he did promise. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Mary and Joseph. Once Jesus was separated, and they realized it, I imagine it was not an easy thing to come to that realization that we've lost our son. But they didn't sit there and feel sorry for themselves or blame anybody else. They turned their company around and they went back to find Him. Nothing else mattered. Today will we do the same. If you've lost Jesus Christ, drop what matters at this moment to you. Let it go and frantically find Him again. If you have Jesus, hold on tight. If you've never known Jesus, we all have an opportunity right now as together we stand and sing.